The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas told us, and it deals with the birth of Yaakov and Esav. Esav was from the seed of Avram and Yitzchok. He had three kedushas, two levels of kedusha. Firstly, he was from the seed of Shem, and Shem was the son of Noach, that he and his seed were Baruch, or blessed. Secondly, he was from the Oves, Avram and Yitzchok. Excuse me, I'm just wondering if this is going to, that hum is going to affect the tape, I think. Just cut it down a bit. Don't cut it down all the way. This is why the sages refer to Esav as Yisrael Mumer, which means that he was a Yisrael. He had the potential of having Kedushas Yisrael, coming from the seed of Shem and coming from Avram and Yitzchok. Except he was a mumer, he rejected it. And being that he rejected it, he threw it off totally. We do not find, for example, by Yishmael, where the sages refer to Yishmael as a Yisrael mumer. He was not from Yisrael at all. And this is what we find in the Sedra, which states that Esav was kofar b'tchias amesim when he came, and he wanted the nazid adoshim, the porridge. And Yaakov said, "I will sell it to you for your birthright." What they were doing was swapping Yaakov's chelak in this world for Esav's chelak, Esav's portion in the next world. Esav being the firstborn, he had the right of the bechora, the priesthood. And Esav asked, "What does this give me?" Yaakov told him, "This would give you the world to come. It gives you mitzvahs." Esav said, "I don't believe in the world to come. Lom elizeh. I don't need this. Ani heilech lomus. At the end of this world, I'm going to die." Mikan shekofar Esav b'tchias amesim. From here we learn that Esav rejected the afterlife, the world to come. And therefore, he was known as a Yisrael mumer. He could have been a Yisrael. Not only he could have been a Yisrael, but the Yerusha, the whole inheritance from Avram, which went to Yitzchok, could have gone to Esav. He was his rightful Bechor, Yitzchok's rightful firstborn. But a mumer, he rejected it. And from this we understand why he was of such enormous power. The Gemara brings, in the beginning of Masecht Avodah Zarah, and Daf Beis, Esav Amud Beis, that at the end of days, Kodesh Baruch Hu will sit with the Sefer Torah on his lap, and he'll invite all of the nations of the world to come and claim their rewards. They come in a buvia, they come all together, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "No, you line up in formation." They line up. It states that the seed of Esav was known as Edom, and his greatest seed was Romi, the Roman Empire that came from him. They come first. Miyad nichnasa lefon of Malchus Remi, tchila. Mona asks, why do they get to come first? Mishum de chashiva. Because they are going to be more prestigious than all of the nations of the world and all of the empires in the world outside of Yisrael. And Dixiv, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Daniel. When Daniel had the dreams and he saw the various empires, so he saw Esav, the empire of Esav. And in Daniel Zayin, it states Pasukov Gimel, Kinamar Chevsa Reviyasa, Malka Reviyo. He saw the fourth one come out of the sea. This was the fourth and final empire. Besechul Kol Ara Ustushina Usatkina. And it's going, this fourth empire comes and consumes the whole world. So from here we see that they're no one to mess with. They will become an enormous power that they will... He saw this... Daniel in a dream, in a prophecy, saw four ferocious, vicious monsters come out of the sea. And each one represented another of the great empires that would try to destroy Israel and conquer the world. The fourth one was Malchus Revia, this was Esav, Edom. And he sought Vesechul Kol Ara Ustushina Visatkina. It will consume and destroy everything in its path in the whole earth. So therefore they are considered Omar Abyehanan Zuremi Chayevis. This is referring to the Roman Empire. He's called Chayevis because Tesra says that means from the word Rosho. He will be a mighty power, but an evil power. Shetiva Yotza Bechola Elam. And his reputation will go out through the entire world. Everyone will know of him. These are the nations that will come from Esav. Now, where does he get this power from? He was a son of Avraham. He was a son of Yitzchak. He came from the seed of Shem. And in Pirkei Reb Lezer, it states that in the up-and-coming Parsha, Vayetze, Yaakov runs away from Esav, and he goes to sleep. It's the place of the Mokam HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. He has a dream. And he dreams that the Malochim are Olim B'Yodim. They're going up, they're going down. And there's a Sulam Mutzavarza V'Reisha Magi HaShemayim. And there's a ladder which has its base on the earth. And its head goes into the heavens. So the Pirkei Reb Lezer in Perek Chamishu Shleishim, Perk 35. What did Yaakov see? Heru HaKadosh Baruch Hu Arba Malch Yesh Moshlim Ve'Avdin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the four empires. Each one will rise up and rule and then fall, be destroyed. Heru Sar Malchus Bovel. First he showed him the Sar, that's the prince of Malchus Bovel. This would be the angel in charge. Ole Shivim Ukim V'Yered. He will go up 70 steps of the ladder and then fall. Ero Sar Malchus Modai. Then he showed him the Sar of the Median Persian Empire. It was during the time of Ahasuerus and Haman. Actually, Ahasuerus was from the Median Persian Empire. Haman was from Esav. Ole Chamishim Ushnaim Ukim. He will go up 52 levels, V'yered, and then he will fall. V'herau Sar Malchus Yovan. And then he showed him the Sar, the angel in charge, the prince, over the empire of the great ancient Greek empire. This is the empire that invaded Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Hashmonaim, Chanukah. Olamea Ushmeinim Ukim. They will go up 180 levels, steps, created, and they will fall. Hero Sar Malchus Edom. Then he showed him the prince of Edom. That's the prince of Esav. Ole goes up, but ain't a Yerid. And he doesn't come down. Omele Yaakov. So Yaakov became very frightened. He saw him go up, and he never came down. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't worry. He said, Im Tagbia Kanesher. If he will go up like an eagle, just looking for the rest of the pasuk here. Shimon Hukim. Misham Oridecha. If he will go up like an eagle, I will bring him down. And actually, the Maral says, you notice that the other ones came down themselves. This one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has to bring down. If he will go up like an eagle that goes higher than anyone else, Misham Oridecha, from there I will bring him down. His kayach, his power, his force will be so ferocious, so great, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to bring him down. This will be the great Esav, the Roman Empire, all of the nations that come from him. Actually, when Daniel saw him, this animal, he saw he had 10 horns. So why 10 horns? Because he'll have 10 Malkiyos, 10 empires that come from him, 10 nations. And these are the seed of the Roman Empire, are the European nations. Germany, Austria, England, France, these are his seed. And they are the European culture. Might be coincidental that the symbol of the Nazis of Maximum was the eagle. Americans, yeah. Now, and that's what is meant in our Parsha. What's what happened to my Chumash? Yeah. This is what is meant in our Parsha. Where Rivka was so disturbed because of what was going on in her womb. She didn't know what was happening. She went to the Beis HaMedrash of Shame to ask Shame, tell me what's happening. So Hashem came and said to her, Shnei goyim bevitneich. He says, the reason why you're having so much problems is because this is not just a childbirth. This is not just a normal child you're having. And it's twins, but it's not normal twins either. Shnei goyim bevitneich. Two mighty nations are in your womb. And then Rashi brings geim ksiv kamei geim. In the Sefer Torah, it's not written like Goyim should be written, Gimel Vav Yud Mem, but it's written Gimel Yud Yud Mem. And Yud, the Sifsei Chachomim brings that Yud is interchanged with an Aleph, which would mean Geim. The word Goer means Geus, great height, nobility. Not only do you have two nations in your womb, but you have two nations of great nobility in your womb. Elu Antoninus Berebi. For example, Antoninus and the Rebbe, during the time of the Roman occupation of the Beis Hamikdash, the Caesar was Antoninus, and the prince of Klal Yisrael was Rabbi Yehuda Anossi. And they were both mighty, mighty leaders. Yehuda Anossi was perhaps the greatest leader that Klal Yisrael ever had in post-biblical days. And Antoninus was the mighty leader. And as it happened, they were very good friends. But stage le posku me al shulchanam leitznein vele chazeres lebi meisacham velebi meisakshomi. It never ceased from their tables. Tznon bechazeres, that's fresh vegetables, radishes, lettuce, not in the summer and not in the winter. Then the Maral says, what does it mean, fresh vegetables? And people want to eat, they want tanugim, you don't eat vegetables. Since this was not for tanugim, this was not for luxury, this was for nobility, for chashivus. Because where do you get fresh vegetables in the wintertime? And especially in those days. Nevertheless, they would make sure that they had fresh vegetables on their tables all of the time. I always gave the example because, for example, like the Rothschild family in Europe, they would make sure that they would have fresh orchids on their table all of the time, even if it had to be flown in from the other side of the world. This was a sign of aristocracy. Chashuvim. Ushnei, then it states, Shnei lu'umim, tu lu'umim. Ein lo'om ela malchus, Rashi says. It's not only a nation, but it's an empire. A malchus, a whole empire. Mimeimayach yiporeidu, and when they come out of your womb, they will separate. They will each go in their totally opposite ways. Rashi says, zeh l'rishe v'zeh l'tumay. This one will become evil, and this one will become righteous. And then the Torah goes on with this. But this gives us an insight that Esav was not a small individual. He was a mighty person. And he was a person who wanted nobility, wanted aristocracy. And this helps us to understand how Yitzchak Avinu was prepared to give Esav the Yerusha from Avram Avinu. Because Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham that I have chosen you and I have brought you close, Lemana Sheitzavis Bona Vubese Achra, because you will guarantee my presence in the world forever through your children. This was the strength of Avraham. Lishmor es derech Hashem. You are the one I can entrust to give over to your seed to teach the world the derech Hashem. I couldn't trust Adam HaRishon in the first 10 generations with this task, and I couldn't trust Noah in the second 10 generations with this task. But you, I am confident in. Now, how does Yitzchak give that Yerusha, that inheritance to Esav? Because he saw the enormous keach in Esav, the enormous ability, the enormous power. Plus, he was his firstborn. He was a Rosha. That Yitzchak didn't see. Because Esav was able to conceal his rishus from his father. So this he didn't see. Why was Esav able to conceal? This we'll see in a few minutes. Then the Torah tells us later on, and this is in Perechov Vav, Posek Lama Dalad, Vayi Esav ben Aboim Shona. When Esav was 40 years old, Vayi Kach Isho Eshuhudis Bas Be'eri Achiti. He went and he took for a wife Yehudis, the daughter of Beri Achiti, Ves Bosmas Bas Elon Achiti, and Bosmas, the daughter of Elon Achiti. When he was 40, he went and he took these wives. Why does the Torah tell us this? So Rashi says we have a great deal to learn. From here we can learn more about Esav. Esav hayav nimshal lachazir. Esav was like the classical chazir, the classical swine, pig. Why? And Rashi is going to bring a pasuk how we know that. Because a chazir azeh, kishu sheichev, peshet lofav leimer ru'u shani tohor. Every animal is not kosher unless it has two kosher signs. One is malagigera, you choose its cut. And second is that its hoofs are split. There is no animal that has split hoofs that does not chew its cud, except one. There are a number of animals that chew their cud, but they do not have split hoofs. A rabbit, a camel. But there is no animal that has split hoofs and does not chew its cud, except one. And that's the chazir. And when the chazir sits, it puts its hoofs out. Why? He was given that instinct to say, Ru'u, look at my hoofs, I am kosher, I am tohor. But meanwhile, he doesn't chew his cud, and therefore he's not kosher. This is the chazir. So Rashi says, Kach Elu. So is it with Esav and his people. Gozlim bechemsim umarim atzmam ksherim. They went and they go and they do all of the abominations in the world. They will steal. Esav used to steal wives from other people. They will steal. They'll commit all types of the worst avedos. Shvichas domim, they will murder. But they will show their hoofs. See, I am kosher. I am tohor. Kol mem shono ha'esav tzad noshim mitachas yad ba'alein uman esav. For all of the 40 years, Esav would go and abduct wives from other people and take them. Kishor ben memon, but when he was 40, Omar, he said, Abba ben mem shono noso isha afanikein. My father was 40 when he got married, and he is so righteous, I also will do that. So he went and he got married. The Gemara tells us in this pasuk that Rashi quotes, Yechasemeno Chazir Miyoar. That's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek Pei, pasuk Yud Dalet. And that Mizmor is speaking about the various Goliaths, exiles. And it states that the Chazir will come and he will destroy and consume the forest. And the Chazal tell us that refers to Esav. We have another Gemara also, in Psochim Dav Kuf Yud Ches Amad Beis. The Gemara brings Mara says that at the end of days, the Melech HaMashiach will come and the nations of the world will want to come to him. He will become a king over the entire world and bring to him a tribute. Shai LaMelech. Asidim Mitzrayim Shetovi Doran LaMashiach. Mitzrayim, Egypt wants to bring one. Ksover Eina Makabel Mehem. They're afraid maybe he won't accept it because after all, look what they will say, look what we did to Israel. Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Mashiach, Kabel Mehem, accept it from them. Achsanyo Osu LeBonai B'Mitzrayim. When Yaakov and his family needed a place to stay, they opened the doors for them. So even though later on they turned against them, you must accept the tribute. Nosa Kush Kal V'Chaymer. So Kush, the Africans, they will make a Kal V'Chaymer. B'atzma ma'ha lolo sh'nishtabdu behen kach, ani sh'lei nishtabarti behen le'kol sh'ken. He says, Egypt went and enslaved them. And still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that they should accept it, as he should accept the tribute. So how much more so by us? We never enslaved Klal Yisrael. We never persecuted the Jews. The Africans do not have any history of anti-Semitism. We never persecuted the Jews. They will be able to say at the end of the days. So how much more so we should, they should accept, he should accept from him, from us? Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kabel Mehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, the Melech HaMashiach must accept the tribute. Nosa Malchus Remi Harosha Kal V'Chaymer. Now the Romans come, and they make a Kal V'Chaymer. And they said, Ma halolu shein achein kach, onu she onu achein likol shkein. The others are not even related to the Melech HaMashiach. We're a brother to the Melech HaMashiach. How much more so should he accept a tribute from us? Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeGavriel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls his angel Gavriel, Midas Adin, Goar Chayas Kono. Go chase out the animal that lives amongst the reeds. Morris says, what does that mean? Dovrache Goar Chayas Kono Shedor Bein Hakonim. Go chase out the animal. This is a pasuk, they quote. It's a pasuk also in Tillim. Go chase out the animal that lives in the reeds. Who is the animal that lives in the reeds? Yechasemeno chazir miyo'ar. That is the chazir that comes out of the forest, which is Esav. Kodesh Baruch says, I don't want anything to do with that. Now this, actually Rashi, this is how Rashi and Tehillim says another pirush, and what does it mean that they're compared to the chazir? The chazir, he says, has one sign of tahara. They have some skusovish. That Esav, how evil they are, but they have some skusovish, they have some merit from their fathers, because they come from Avraham and Yitzchok. Now, this that Rashi says, this is a Medrash Chazal, that they are compared to the Chazir. We can learn a lot from here, and this is very deep. Because we can ask a question. The Chazir is an animal which is the total antithesis to any covet. Anything that has to do with honor or self-respect. He is not makbid on his covet klal or klal. He doesn't have any self-respect whatsoever. He's neighbor ba'ashbad, the Gemara refers to him. He digs in the garbage, in the rubbish, with his nose. And the Maral brings that even by animals we find ktsas kovet, where there's the animals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to animals some self-respect, some honor, some nobility. The Gemara brings in Masechta Chagiga, Dalet Geim Hava. There are four creations which were created with a nobility. It says, for example, who are the four? And these are the four which are on the Kisei HaKovet. They're on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is the eagle. The eagle takes pride in himself, and he can fly higher than any other animal. any other animal, any other bird. The nesher, agodl. Another is the ox, the bull. The bull is the king of all of the domesticated beasts. It takes pride in that fact. And he wants to let you know about it. Then there's the ari. The ari is the melech achayus. When he's roaring, this is what he's telling everyone. I'm the king. Don't start up with me. He wants to rule. The fourth is man. And that man that's on the Kisei HaKovod, that's Tzurasei Shel Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov who rose to the greatest height of a man. But we see that nobility was given even in some measure to animals. But not to the Chazir. The Chazir has nothing. He's very happy wallowing in the garbage the whole day. Very, very content with that. Now, this would seem the opposite of Esav. There are nations that have very, very little self-respect. Primitive nations. Nations that came from Qom, from Canaan. They live very, very simple lives. Very primitive lives. They don't look for too much. And the Maral mentions also the Ishmaelim, he says, the Arabs. Well, outside of the few that have stolen all the money from everybody else, how do they live? They don't even build homes for themselves. They can live in tents and move from one place to the other. You don't find them with the great homes. You find the great castles of Switzerland, the great palaces of Hungary, right? The great fortresses of England, Rome. No. And you find those other nations. But Esav is very, very makbid on his covet. The Roman Caesars, the Roman empires, the great emperors, Antinous, we just said, they made sure that there was fresh vegetables on their table every day in the summer and in the winter. How can they be compared to the Chazir? The answer is we have to define what does it mean, covet. Kovod, to give honor, is where one recognizes a level of height, of excellence, and he exalts it. Takes recognition of it, exalts it, uplifts it, and gives a shvach v'hedor, praises it. This is honor. But that honor that we're speaking about, which is an enormous midah, quality in the world, that has to be derech emes, where you recognize a level of excellence, which in truth is a level of excellence. For example, what would happen if many people would get together and they would decide that we must honor a tipish, a fool. Take a fool and say, we're going to honor him. We're going to exalt him. We will praise him. Or a nara cotton. Or they take a simpleton or a simple child. We are going to praise him. This is honor. This is not covet. This is sheker, it's not midas hakovet. Or what would happen, for example, if they take a rosho, an evil person, and they say, we are going to worship this man, we will uplift him, midas hakovet. This is not midas hakovet. This is poshut. Because kovet is a malbush. Kovod is a garment. for he who is appropriate and befitting to wear it. Mara brings, uses an example, kimi shemisatev betalisa shogdeli. You have a cotton, someone of small erech, someone of a small level, and he wants to put on a talis of a cotton. That means he wants to take the clothing of a godel. He wants to take the clothing of a great person and put it on, and through this he thinks he becomes the great person. It's the person that honors the clothing. It's not the clothing necessarily that makes the man. Or, for example, what would happen if you have a small child and he puts on his derech chayik, he's playing, so he puts on his father's hat to show now he's like his father. And this is good for chayik, this is good for playing. But this is not midas hakovet. This is why the Chazal tell us, Kovet, Chachomim Yincholu. True honor, that must go to the Chachomim, to the sages. She'en Kovet El Torah. Kovet is what you give to that what is the highest levels in the world. There's no higher levels than Torah. Therefore, Torah must attract the kovet, and Torah is befitting to wear the kovet. It says you give kovet to a fool. That's the same as throwing money into the ocean, throwing gold into the ocean. Or, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol ma she'barasi le'barasi ele l'kvaydi. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, everything I created for my honor. Honor to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Zuhi HaMaila, that's a Maila. This was the great hate of the Eivdei Aveda Zora, of the idolaters, where they would give kovod to Eitzim Bavon and build themselves a statue out of stone and wood and give honor to it. This is the same as taking gold and putting it into the ocean. So therefore, the midah of kovod is an enormous midah, but it must be appropriate. Otherwise it becomes like a fool, like you give kovod to a tippish. The quality of Esav was that he took this world. He didn't want the next world. So he separated the two worlds. This world together with the next world is a wonderful, wonderful world. But when you separate the two, then what you get is something which is empty and shallow. Because I'll tell us that this world is like a praiser. The next world is the truckling. This world is the antechamber, which surrounds the palace. The inner world is the palace. This is the antechamber, which allows you to come to the palace. Where is the kovod? The kovod is in the palace. States called Kevuda Bas Melech Penima. Where will you find the king? In the outer halls, in the hallways, in the passages. His throne will be in the palace. The outer chambers surround the palace, and through this you come into the palace. This is the world of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. It's compared to a fruit with a klipa, with a shell. The shell protects the fruit, but it's there for the fruit. Esav went, I want this world. You take the next world. It's not for me. What did he take? He took the passages. He took the antechamber. He took the shell. He took the peel. And this is his world. When you're in a world like that, it becomes a world of emptiness. It becomes a world which is meaningless, a world which lacks kovod, a world which lacks that what's in it, and a world of pchisus, a world which just is low. The Gemara brings that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the Romans, what did you do for this world? They said, Harbe mechotzeis boninu. We built beautiful, beautiful swimming baths and places of luxury. Harbe shfokim boninu. We built beautiful places of commerce. Harbe kesev is of. We gathered great silver and gold. So what is all of this? What is the point of all of that? If you're just in the passageway, if you're just in the outer group. Now, they wanted kovod. They're very makbid. They're very demanding on their kovod. But what was kovod to them? Kovod to them were bathhouses, were shopping malls, gold, silver. This was the kovod to the seed of Esav. And this is empty. This is something which has no substance in it. And this is all in the world, the Olam HaNigla. This is all not in the concealed part of the palace which is inside, but all which is revealed to the outside, the superficial world. This is what they took. The Gemara brings, we mentioned, Shiyotzo Tiva Bechola Eilam, they're going to make sure that their name goes through the whole world. This is the superficial, superficiality of the world. Now actually, if we study the qualities of these nations, Germany, Austria, France, England, this European culture, and what came from it, this Western world that we live in today, this outside world is known as the Chazal tell us, the Alma de Shikra. It's a world of deceit because it deceives one. When you look at it for what it is, it's in itself, it deceives one. Because it's not there for itself. It's there for the palace which is inside. When they took that, they took all of the deceit that went with it. These nations, the Gemara says, was Yotzativa Bechala Eilam, were able to project their name throughout the whole world. Who never heard of the Roman Empire? Who never heard of the Caesars? Who never heard of the city of Rome? Who never heard of their governments, of their wars? And in the culture that we have seen, we live in a culture of mass media, of propaganda, of advertisement, of promotion, of exaggerated lies, all to promote a name. This is the society. Advertisement industry is very close to the largest industry in the world. The Nazis, Yimach Shemom, they use propaganda throughout the whole world to come to their means. And this is what is hammered out all of the time. Yotzo Tiva Bachola Ailam, the Gemara says, they will be able to promote their name in the whole world. And then, actually, there's something else also very interesting. Who are the people in the culture, the European culture, and in the Western culture of today? Who are the people that we honor? Who do we give kovet to? There was an article, in, I believe it was in Time magazine, a number of years ago, that was entitled, "Do We Have Our Priorities Right?" Who are the highest paid people in our society? Is it the educator? Educator is very, very important. What would you do without education? Is it the university professor? Is it the medical research people? Is it the president of the United States? They said no. The highest paid people of our society are the Hollywood celebrities and the best baseball players. Do we have our priorities right? If one will think about that, it's not a phenomena. This is an insanity. An insanity. The highest paid people, the public can come up. For education, they can't come up with any money. Can't afford it. For medical research, limited amount. To resolve social problems, throw in a few pennies. Best soccer players, rugby players, baseball players, Hollywood celebrities who are pushing billions. Billions can come up for that. President of the United States, he'll get a salary. It's an insanity. This is what the Chazal tell us. Sure, they want their kovet. But who do they give their kovet to? Can there be anything more empty than that? More shallow, more hollow? That's Aesop's world. And this is not new. The ancient Romans, they spent billions building stadiums for sport. What did they spend their billions for? Feeding the poor, feeding the hungry. They would come out in the hundreds of thousands to watch the chariot races, or to watch the men be mauled by the lions, the great sports and the great warriors. Even the Olympics today, the Olympics were a product of the ancient Greeks. The Greeks were idealists. By them, the concept of the Olympics was to strive for a perfection, to strive for an excellence. They made a mistake, though. They strove only for physical excellence, but it was to strive for excellence. Today, the Romans, the culture today has made a joke out of it. Not that there's anything crooked in the Olympics. There's nothing straight left in the Olympics. You won't find anything straight. It's all money and drugs. That's it. This is anything that the Romans put their hands on. And he's an Olympic star. He's a star. Who's the star? If we go into this deeper, we see the English are masters at this. I've seen pictures of boxing matches, championship boxing matches in England, where the men can show up in black tie and the women in evening gowns. You want to have a boxing match, have a boxing match. But where's all? What do you need all of the nobility and the aristocracy? I've seen pictures of billiards, where the men will show up perfectly dressed in black tie to watch it. They'll come to banquets which celebrate exactly nothing. And you'll have the chandeliers. Watch your French banquets. The chandeliers, tails, top hats. It's COVID. But for what? Celebrating exactly nothing. But we can go better. We can even go better. You know what the greatest event, social event in America is? Every year. The awarding of the Oscars. The awarding of the Oscars attracts the cream of society, the cream of wealth. The limousines pull up. The furs and the jewelry add a glamorous daze to the evening. What are you celebrating? You're celebrating because someone is able to act in a schaik, in a play, in a spiel, in a movie. Do you want to enjoy it? Enjoy it. But what is all of the pomp and circumstance? The English are masters at this. But this is Esav. Esav does not want to cease from his table any radishes or lettuce. Not in the winter or the summer, because he's very makpid and is covered. But for what? I've garnished for nothing. Because he's taken this world away from the palace where the covered belongs. And we'll go a step further. And this is what the English are masters of. Chazal tell us, Kfeid Malchus, a melech should have covet. A melech excels. He's above the nation. He's the heart of the nation. The heart of the person drives the person. The king drives the nation. He's the mafanus. He accepts responsibility not only for the direction of the nation, but for the sustenance of the nation. He is that individual. And therefore we have to have covet for him. Kodesh Baruch Hu made him a melech. Already, for I don't know how many years, the royalty in England has been totally deflated. There's no power. There's nothing left. Yet they still give it the same honor. All of the same trappings of the Malchus. If there's a wedding, it's a royal wedding. They live in a palace. You have the money to support it. But where's the Malchus? There's no Malchus left. And the Melech is supposed to be the model, the role model. Could there be less than the role model than the royal family? This is Esav. Now, this is all on the superficial side. But when it comes to the concealed part, there, the Chazal tell us, they are the Chazir. They will sink to the lowest abominations in the world. They will sink. Esav will steal wives from their husbands. He will kill. He will do all Aveiros Shebe Torah, the worst abominations. But that's where he's not to be seen. But the image that he'll project to the world will be that one of Kovod. And that's the Chazir. That even though the Chazir is never Ba'ashpa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him put his hoofs out so we can learn from him what is Esav. V'ru Shani Tohor. We do not realize how deep this example goes. Because if a person wants COVID, then he'll be careful what he does. He'll have some self-respect. Esav has no self-respect for himself. Only in public. Alone, he has no self-respect for himself. The European nations, England, France, and certainly Germany, committed the greatest atrocities where they tortured and persecuted, insulted the human race by the millions. They burnt people, they shamed people. They brought the human race down to the lowest level possible of humanity. But at the same time, the Nazis kept their uniforms clean. They had to keep their boots perfectly polished. Their discipline had to be perfect. Their palaces and great homes had to be nobility. Hitler was styling himself after a Caesar. And the great eagle was the emblem. And this was the English and the French and the Austrians and Germany and all of them. If a person wants COVID, have some COVID for yourself. How could you do such a thing like that? Millions upon millions of people. Second World War alone, Hitler alone is attributed to have caused the death of 50 million people. This was one war. This is what the Chazal tell us. That the Midah of the Chazir. And the Maral analyzes the Chazir a bit. The Chazir, he wants to eat garbage. Firstly, you shouldn't eat garbage. Because garbage is what people throw out because they can't eat it. So why do you eat it? In other words, if we look at the lowest end of the spectrum of humanity, it'll be the garbage dump. Something which is no longer useful for human consumption ends up in the garbage dump. That's where the Chazir goes. That's his feast. Secondly, the rubbish dump has the worst smell. That smell causes people to distance themselves from it. Instead, the Chazir goes to it. Anyone who cares for his honor or the honor of humanity will keep the rubbish dumps as far as from the city as possible. The Chazir lives in it. That's his home. Then, he lives in it, he waddles in it, and he most of the day spends eating it. Kind of creature. But worse yet, what does a person do when he goes near a rubbish dump? gentleman will put his hand over his nose. A lady will take her handkerchief and put it over her nose. Especially, it's a tsar to the neshama. The Gemara tells us that a bad smell causes tsar to the soul, because the reah goes right into the soul. So it's repulsive. It's repulsive to the milas o'odam. To the height of to the human being, it's repulsive. What does the chazir do? He doesn't dig with his paws. He digs with his nose. He takes his nose and digs into the rubbish dump that is not fit for human consumption, that has this smell that is the repugnant to the level of humanity, and this is where he lives. We see what kind of animal he is. And this is Esav. This is the great European nations that took Jews and took all kind of people. Would lock them up in a castle, or lock them up in a church, or lock them up in a shul, pour oil on it, and put it alight. And then write down all the statistics and make a report, but make sure that their boots were polished exactly before they handed in the report. Ru'u shani tohor, the chazir says, look at my hoofs. Now tohor is something else also. What does it mean tohor? I'm kosher. Because I'll tell us that Esav, he would ask his father all kind of questions where he could deceive his father that he's a medatek b'mitzvahs, to show that I'm a tzaddik. He would show how much of a tzaddik. Where does the church come from? The church comes from Rome. Where does the Pope come from? The Pope lives in Rome. Where is Christianity? The church represents the conscience of the world. Then where was the church, and where was the Pope when millions of people were being burnt alive or tortured? Or their total humanity was stamped with the boots. Now to the world, Ru'u ani tohor. The Queen of England, any public ceremony, any public celebration, any coronation, the cardinal will be there. Bishops will be there to show we're a holy nation. This is Esav. Actually, there's a Mishnah in Masecht Ovis where the Mishnah says, this Mishnah is in Perek Vav Mishnah Beis, that Bechol Yem V'Yem, every day a bas kol comes from Har Chayri, from Har Sinai, and it's mecharezes, and it announces Oy Lebriyos El Beinu Shel Torah, Oy to the people, and this is talking to Israel, that leave the Torah. And he gives an example of Nezim Zov be'af Chazir. It's like a golden ring in the nose of a Chazir. What is it referring to? So the Maral explains that the truth of the matter is we have to worry about this for ourselves also. Because man was created with an enormous intelligence, intellect, and spiritual soul. And that is like Zohar Tohar, pure gold. Because they'll tell us gold was something that shouldn't have come into this world, except HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed it for the Mishkan, for the sanctuary. We were given that to study His Torah, and to elevate ourselves to the highest spheres possible. Instead, what do the people do that forsake the Torah? They not merely forsake the Torah. They take that intelligence, they take that intellect, and they use it to amass gold and silver for themselves, to amass luxuries and tanugim in the superficial world. So the example that's given, it's like a nezim zohov ve'af chazir, a golden ring. You have a beautiful jewel. Would you put it in the nose of a chazir? That he's going to use the gold to be neveya ba'aspa, to bore into the rubbish. But this was Esav. Yaakov, on the other hand, was just the opposite. Yaakov, his world was the Krakalin, the palace. And he used this world as means to get to the palace. And this is what he was interested in. And he rose to such heights in Kedusha and Tahara, where it states that Tzurosei Chokuk Bekisei HaKoved, he is the one who is exalted, honored over all of the others, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu over him. Now, it's the way of the tzaddikim. Yitzchak he was deceived, like it states in the Torah, Tzayid Betiv. He was deceived by Esav. Yaakov, he knew what Yaakov was, but he did not know to what extent. Rivka knew, but not Yaakov. Excuse me, not Yitzchak. But why didn't Yitzchak? Because just to the contrary, it's the way of Esav to be begolui, to show the world, puts out his hoofs. Look, I am Tohor. They bring a television team into the Vatican to show how holy the Vatican is throughout the whole world. This is the Derech of Esav. It was the way of Yaakov, the Tzaddikim, to be master es masov, to conceal their acts. States Yaakov ish tam yeshiva olim. He wasn't ishoda. Esav went out. Yaakov stayed in the tents of Torah. Ish tam. He was perfect. His heart. He didn't go out to show the world what kind of tzaddik he was. That's not the derech hatzaddikim. It states that the derech harishoyim omrim arbe. They say a lot, and even a little they don't do. Tzadikim, aimri me'at. They say a little. They do a lot. In the Torah it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I chose you, Yisrael, not because lemi rubchem, not because of your great numbers. Elo atem ameat mina amim. You are the smallest of the nations. The Gemara brings on that posuk. What does it mean? You are the smallest of the nations. You constantly make yourself small. No matter what I give you, you make yourself small. I gave Avraham so much, he says, Anechi Ofer Ve'efer. I'm only dust and ashes. Same with Yitzchok and Yaakov, all of the tzaddikim. They are constantly being mocked in themselves, making themselves smaller. Esav worshipped the sun, because the sun is the greatest keach in this world. Well, the sun comes in with a bang. Everybody knows where the sun is. Yaakov was Nimshla Lavona, to the moon. The moon is concealed. Many times it's totally concealed. Many times it's small. That's the Morah Koton. This is the way of the Hasidim. And therefore, Yitzchok couldn't see, wasn't able to see to what extent of the righteousness that Yaakov had reached. And this is also why, by Klal Yisrael, there can't be this dichotomy where, in regards to the nation, regards to people, you're one way. B'chadrei Hadorim, you're another way. States Yaakov was Ishtam. He was stable in all ways. It says what was in his mouth was in his heart. He didn't speak one way and think another way. And this was the Derech HaTzadikim. Actually, in the Torah, it's in the Nach, it states Hatzneah. When you walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're supposed to walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tznius. You're supposed to walk with concealment. This was the midah of Yaakov Avinu. This is also why when Yaakov came to his father Yitzchok and he felt him and he said, Yadayim Yedei Esav, Hakol Kol Yaakov, Yadayim Yedei Esav, that it's the voice of Yaakov, but it's the hands of Esav. So the Gemara brings on that the power of Yaakov is the kol, the power of Esav is the hands, are the hands. When the Yadayim, when the kol of Yaakov is strong, then the hands of Esav cannot overcome. When the kol of Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov is not strong, then the hands of Esav can overcome. The Maral says on that the kol, the voice, comes from the inside. What is that doing? That's bringing out what's bipnimi, what's inside the person. That's the power of Yisrael. Yadayim, the hands, this is the most external features of the person. These are. Because not only are they on the outside, but a person uses his hands whenever he wants to feel something, he wants to grope, he wants to know where he is, what it is, he uses his hands. These are the most external features. This was the power of Esav. So this gives us an insight into the mead of Esav, into the quality of Esav, which was just contrary to the quality of Yaakov. We should to follow in the footsteps of Yaakov and not Esav, even though we live in the culture. The Chazal, the sages tell us that the Golus that we are in now is the exile of Esav. It's the exile of Edom. We are living in this culture. but we must not be over influenced by this culture, but rather we have to follow in the footsteps of Yaakov, that was Ishtam Yosheva Olim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.